Sportscast, October 18th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. Again, thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. Read your Bible on your iPhone. Make a picture and share it to the world. That's InstaBibleApp.com. InstaBibleApp.com. The Alabama Crimson Tide blew past Texas A&M on Saturday on the road in College Station, Texas, winning 59-31 after a relatively rough start to the game. The Aggies started the game with a strong first drive to put the Aggies on top 7-0, but the Crimson Tide answered with a touchdown and would continue to do so all day. And to talk to us a little bit about what happened Saturday, Justin Riley, welcome back.
Hey, great. Glad to be here, especially when I'm about to preview a historic rivalry game when it comes to the SEC.
Let's go have a quick recap. What were your thoughts about Alabama's performance against Texas A&M, the hardest team they faced so far this season?
Well, first of all, you got the score wrong. Alabama won 47-28.
Yeah, 47-28. Oh, wait. I got the wrong one. Okay. That was – okay. Got the wrong one.
I would have loved to – no, that was against Ole Miss, the score that you just read.
Oh, wow. There you go. There goes my mix-up.
It's all good. It's all good. Well, what stood out to me about Texas A&M? Well, the defense is still a work in progress. As you see, they allow Kellen Mond to rush for almost 100 yards. But they – seem to be getting better in spurts, but then we give up something here and there. But hey, they're a young defense. That's what you're going to get. One of the biggest things that stood out to me was the fact that Alabama committed 13 penalties.
That's 13. A lot. One more time.
That's 13 penalties.
That's a no-no.
That's just absurd. And that definitely will get something. We'll get Nick Saban fired up and definitely give him a lot of bull-to-board material, as well as a reason to kick somebody in the behind. But anyway, moving past that, another thing, Devonta Smith, who was a star against Ole Miss, didn't have quite the stats he did in this game. He had 99 yards and a touchdown. But what stood out the most was he got into a little altercation with an Aggie defensive back, which the defensive back started, and Mr. Smith swung at him, causing his ejection and also causing his suspension for the first half against Tennessee this week.
I saw that, and they were fighting all the way. I think at the end of the game, they were still fighting.
It was a scrappy situation the entire game, just on and off. You had a lot of emotion running high. You had a very frustrated Texas A&M. They really felt like going into this game that they really could have beaten Alabama, and they really came out very passionate. And like you said earlier, they scored in the opening drive, and to me that said early on, this is going to be a battle. But Alabama was able to, no pun intended, turn the tide. Jalen Waddle finally showed up. He came out of hiding, had his first receiving touchdown of the season, but he really contributed significantly in the return game, put Alabama in great field position. Majority of the times he touched the ball on a punt return. Najee Harris had a really good game. He had 114 yards rushing, and he's slowly starting to assert himself in the backfield and be that alpha dog that we're needing, you know, run the ball. Defense, the good thing that stood out to me, defensive lineman Christian Barmore, young kid, is really starting to take over and start to dominate. He actually had a penalty thrown on him for his hand touching Kellen Mond's helmet at one point, which is ridiculous. But anyway, Anthony Jennings, big game from him. He had 8 tackles, 1 sack, 2 tackles for loss. He was literally there every play. Terrell Lewis seems to be getting a little bit healthier. He had 2 sacks against the Aggies. Freshman phenom Shane Lee at linebacker is continuing to get better and be on the rise. 8 tackles, 1/2 sack. The combo of Patrick Surtain Jr., Trevon Diggs, and Xavier McKinney was the strongest part of our defense. They were tested pretty often from the Aggies and Kelly Mond, and they passed with flying colors. Another non-offensive touchdown, a linebacker, backup linebacker, Ale Kaho, blocked another punt in back-to-back games, and both resulted in a touchdown. The punt he blocked against the A&M actually was scooped up by Trail Shavers and scored for a 2-yard tied touchdown. But overall, what I thought, offensively, we're still a good machine. Tua Tagovailoa is still chugging right along. You know, he's still completing 73% of his passes. He's passed for 4 touchdowns, 4 straight games in a row. And, oh, my gosh, he's human. He threw an interception. So he is actually human. But he's still looking good, still showing why he's in the bulk of the Heisman talk, and definitely showing that he is one of the best QBs in the nation. Overall, very pleased, other than the fact that, you know, we're still giving a lot up defensively, and then the penalty situation, just unacceptable. But those are my main takeaways in this previous game.
Moving on, third Saturday in October, known as Rivalry Weekend in college football, Alabama will take on the Volunteers in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Not a strong Tennessee team. Of course, we saw them play against Florida, and Florida pummeled them through. Will we see the same thing with Alabama?
Well, Yeah, from my standpoint, I certainly hope that we pummel them. But for those outside of the Alabama and Tennessee fan base, this is actually one of the oldest rivalries in college football. And at one time, it was actually one of the hottest rivalries. And a lot of times, it really determined who was going to win the SEC, you know, just as Tennessee's rivalry of Florida is. But, yeah, it has lost its luster just because of Tennessee being down these past several years. And you know, this year is no different, as Tennessee is and or has been the object of a lot of ridicule. But it appears they are gaining some confidence. You know, they have won a couple of victories, one of which was against Mississippi State this past weekend. And it's big for them. And that, no, Mississippi State's not a great opponent, but they picked up a conference win, and they also picked up an upset win. So, you know, that really helps them out. However, going into this game, Tennessee right now is a 34.5 underdog. What's that say to you, Santiago?
That sounds like it's going to be another scrimmage, maybe like a Ole Miss type of game.
Hopefully, Tennessee's not able to move the ball as well as Ole Miss was against them. But, you know, as far as moving the ball, let's go ahead and talk about how they look offensively. Well, they're only averaging 23 points a game. That's not a whole lot. You know, total yards, they're at 353, whereas Alabama is averaging 536 per game. And like I said, Tennessee is slowly been improving, and a lot of that has to do with the changing of the guard at quarterback. And that's Brian Maurer, who has taken the place of Jarrett Garantano. However, Brian Maurer is really uncertain because of a concussion sustained against Mississippi State. And it looks like it's going to be a game time decision as to whether or not he is going to be able to go. One of the things I've really noticed, doesn't really appear that offensive coordinator Jim Chaney, who's really known for his offense, has much confidence with Garantano, not only in his previous game, but in games before that, as he's really not dialed up any high-risk down-the-field plays. He's only calling short to mid-range pass plays. Now, if Maurer does end up playing, then you'll probably see the offense change a lot, and Maurer will probably take some more shots downfield. Now, Tennessee has really been ineffective to this point offensively, but don't let that discredit running back Todd Chandler, who's averaging 5.1 yards per game, per carry. And they have a really good wide receiver and Juwan Jennings, who averages 14.2 yards per catch.
Redshirt freshman.
But both of them are really producing, you know, with what they're allowed to do. Like I said, you know, this offense really hasn't been doing a whole lot, nor has it been allowing to do a whole lot. But when Maurer came in, they slowly started to open up more, and that has a lot to do with Chaney's confidence in Maurer. But it's really going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens when the quarterback is revealed. Now, defensively, strong point for Tennessee is their secondary. They've actually come up with 9 interceptions within the last 4 games. And they were 3rd in the SEC against the pass, allowing 199 yards per game. Star of the secondary, Nigel Warrior. Of course, anybody with the last name of Warrior should be a star. That's just the way I see it. Now, Tennessee did allow Kyle Trask to complete 71% of his passes, and then Jake Fromm, 83% of his passes. So, you know, they can give up a little bit. And to this point, they hadn't faced a four-headed dragon like they're going to face in Alabama's receiving corps. So they're going to be definitely challenged to the max this Saturday. Now, that secondary picked off 3 of those passes I mentioned against Mississippi State. They also had 10 tackles for loss and 7 sacks against the Bulldogs. They also limited potential all-SEC running back Colin Hill to only 13 yards. Before that point, man, he was just ripping up the ground and rushing. Not against Tennessee, which I was very surprised in. So Darrell Taylor is the leader of that defensive linebacker. Had 2 sacks the previous game, and this guy – actually came out earlier this week in an interview just talking about how motivated he is to beat Alabama and how much it means to him and the team to do something that no Tennessee senior class has done in quite some time. Interesting note about Tennessee. Son of former Alabama All-American and NFL All-Pro Cornelius Bennett, Kevon Bennett plays for the Vols, so plays linebacker. That's going to be a kind of a hard thing for me to cheer for, you know, considering, you know, Alabama legacy guys playing for the Volunteers. Man, I don't know what to think about that. But another thing we need to notice is this previous game, Tennessee lost defensive back Trevon Flowers to a broken leg. So he's done. And Henry Tuoto is going to miss the first half due to a targeting penalty he sustained the previous game.
Something to definitely look at, of course, as he covered before, freshman quarterback Brian Moore has a concussion, questionable for this weekend, but they can turn to their veteran, Jared Wartanino, who has a 22 career start. So he definitely has a experience. But the game will be this Saturday at nighttime, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on CBS, so it should be a nice, good late-night game. It's weird because it's typically, like, those late-night games are typically for the Pac-12, but we'll definitely see Alabama at night. Not much to expect. We're expecting a huge win from Alabama, but, of course, they need to prep up because in a few weeks, November 9th, keep that in mind, is LSU. Let's go into the SEC game scores. The biggest shock of the weekend was Georgia losing to the Gamecocks by 3 points, 20-17. Justin, what were your thoughts when you heard that result?
Well, like you said, brother, shocking. I watched the majority of that game, and it just didn't look like Georgia was just there. It didn't look like they were enthused at all about the game. And what was equally shocking is that South Carolina, you know, loses Helinski, and then they had to turn to their third-string quarterback, and they still couldn't do anything. Now, all credit goes to South Carolina, man. Their defense was quite hellacious. Georgia just really couldn't do anything. And now Georgia did have opportunities to, you know, put themselves back ahead and possibly win that game, but they just couldn't capitalize. It seems to me, now I'm not taking credit right away from South Carolina. I think they're a much better team than what their record indicates. But it just seems to me like Georgia really wasn't in the game, and maybe this game is going to be what sets them off.
Yeah, something to definitely look at. You know, guys, keep in mind Georgia has one of the top 3 talent in America. I mean, they're a top 3 talent school, and of course things sometimes don't come into fruition, matchup issues, but South Carolina had a great defense. Let's move on to other scores. Tennessee,
right,
obviously they're playing Alabama, beat Mississippi State 20-10. Maybe some momentum, but I don't really think so. Vanderbilt loses to UNLV 34-10. Not much surprise there. Missouri beat Ole Miss 38-27. Missouri is on top of the SEC East.
Wow, I mean, I had to look at that stat twice when I saw it the other day. definitely not something that you would have expected at this point in the season, especially with Georgia being a heavyweight there, Missouri being on probation, and then a surging Florida team. But right now the Tigers rule the roost.
Which Missouri is not odd to seeing them win the SEC East. I think they were at the SEC Championship about 2-3 years ago, right?
Right. They actually played Alabama 2 years in a row in the SEC Championship.
Not much of a matchup there, but definitely Alabama was really lucked out to play Missouri. But the SEC East back then were pretty weak. Let's move on. Kentucky beat Arkansas 24-20. Kentucky's an ACC school, I believe. No. They're an SEC school. To stand be corrected. Yes. I always get mixed up because, you know, Kentucky's a basketball school, and I always think ACC has a better basketball conference, but that's not the case.
Well, yes, Kentucky does carry the SEC when it comes to basketball.
Yeah, so that's pretty much.
I understand your dilemma there.
And then maybe Auburn. Another big game, LSU beat Florida, or did 2-28. Kind of not a big margin, Justin, but what does that tell you? I mean, obviously Florida had a good defense, apparently, but what does that tell you about LSU? Now they're number two, by the way, after this result.
All right. Well, LSU is very deserving of where they're at right now. Joe Burrow is very deserving of being at the top of the Heisman Trophy race right now. Joe Burrow is definitely deserving of being listed as the first team midseason All-American at quarterback. So definitely worth the accolades. Now, what does it tell you about both teams? They're both dang good. Now, Florida, it played well above what I really thought they were going to play. They were able to match LSU shout for shout and for majority of the entire game. And to be honest with you, I was really impressed with Kyle Trask. He had a couple of, you know, uh-ohs in the game, but he really led that team, and he really just looked like a top-tier quarterback in that game and was able to do some very good things against one of the better defenses in the country. Just some really ballsy throws, man. Now, Florida, I really honestly felt they actually could have won that game. But if it wasn't for a few key mistakes and some really odd play calling, it led them to their demise. Now, that's the difference between an established LSU team and against a Florida team that is on the rise but isn't quite there yet. But, man, just an incredible battle. I really was impressed and with both teams and just gained a lot of respect for both of them.
Florida is no Alabama, but LSU has a high-scoring machine coming in. The game against Alabama is November 9th. Are you worried about LSU?
I'd be crazy not to be worried about LSU right now. You know, up until the Florida game, man, they're averaging, you know, close to 59 points a game offensively. That's a big deal. And for those of you who haven't been paying attention, what's our biggest struggle right now? Defense. Which, you know, they're still trying to find themselves. And we got a lot of growing pains with those freshmen playing at key positions, all five of them. But, you know, offensively, we're chugging along. So that's really going to make a big difference in the game against LSU. It's really going to be determined by who makes the fewest mistakes and, of course, field position. But, yeah, I'm definitely worried.
You think Burrow is the top quarterback prospect right now?
Absolutely, man. Just look at the stats. You know, look at what he's been able to do. He really hasn't had any down performances, and he showed up in the biggest games. So, and with those biggest games came two big victories. And no other quarterback right now has better victories than Joe Burrow at the moment.
Keep in mind, guys, before they play Alabama, LSU will be playing Auburn in Death Valley. Now, can Auburn slow them down, or you don't think they have much luck either?
Unless Auburn has an offensive epiphany, I don't foresee it. I think that Auburn's defense is probably one of the best in the SEC, one of the better in the country. But if they can't get off the field, it doesn't do them any good. Now, I think they'll slow LSU down for a certain period of time. But without that offense being able to do anything, it's going to allow LSU to eventually take over and wear them down.
Something to definitely look at. This is like the same situation last year. The Alabama-LSU game loomed. But then LSU kind of just messed up and they lost. But this LSU team is different. It feels like they're better than last year.
Well, yeah, they have an offense. And old Ogeron over there is actually allowing the talent to be utilized in that offense and is allowing his offensive coordinator to do what he was hired to do. So, yeah, much improved LSU team.
I believe LSU was number four. At the highest peak they were number four. I haven't seen them at number two for a while.
It's been some time, but that's where they are right now, and we're set for an epic showdown.
Of course, in the AP poll, we have Clemson at number three, Ohio State number four, another high-talented team, and, of course, Oklahoma number five, Wisconsin six, Penn State afterwards, Notre Dame number eight. So, things are still – this is not official. This is very, very light, but the college football playoffs poll comes out November 5th, and we'll be talking about that on our big show that week. Let's look at the NFL. Anything else before we head on to the NFL?
Oh, man.
Oh,
that's what I got.
I got you. Well, let's go on to game predictions due to time. Let's start with Arizona State at Utah.
Well, right now, Arizona State has really surprised me. I honestly felt like they were going to lose this past weekend because I didn't think they could generate a whole lot of offense to match Washington State. However, they completely proved me wrong. Utah is very good, but I got to keep riding with Herm Edwards. I say the fighting Herm Edwards squad wins.
Interesting story about Herm Edwards. Michigan at Penn State. College game day will be there.
This is a big game, brother. This is show me time for Penn State. Are they the real deal, or is it finally their time? And also, time it is job saving time for old Jim Harbaugh.
Oof.
So which are we going to see? Michigan desperately needs this. Worse than Penn State needs this. But I think it's going to be a great contest. However, Penn State, I think it's just going to be too much. And I say the Nittany Lions take it from old Michigan.
Penn State wins. Oregon at the Washington Huskies in Seattle.
That's a good Pac-12 matchup, man. Look forward to seeing this. Got to go with Oregon, though, man. They are on a roll. Great offense. They got one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Definitely think he's going to outplay Jacob Eason.
And give us a score for Alabama-Tennessee.
I think this is probably going to be a little bit closer than what people think. I think Alabama may play a little bit down to Tennessee, but I think Alabama will win. And the biggest victory will be keeping everybody healthy. Alabama will win 38-21.
38-21. I think it's still a tight margin, but who am I? NFL, Baltimore Ravens visit the Seattle Seahawks.
Man, this is a huge, 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 huge game. For Baltimore, I like that we have won the last two, which we really should have. But now we're getting really tested with a real deal team. And to be honest with you, I don't think anybody right now is hotter than Seattle. I love my Ravens, and I really want to see this game taken by them. But I can't go against Russell Wilson, man. Seattle takes it from Baltimore.
Seattle wins at home. ALCS, Major League Baseball playoffs. Who takes Game 5 tonight, Houston Astros or the New York Yankees?
Man, got to go with the Yankees. I can't root against them.
Houston, New York will be 3-2 if they win tonight. And random question, what is your favorite cupcake snack? We got Twinkie, we got like the Ding Dong, Ho-Hos, or Snowballs?
No contest, brother. It's Twinkies. Got to go with the original, the goat of cupcakes per se.
Yeah, Twinkies winning by 75%. Second place, Ho-Ho's. Ding Dong gets zero. Snowballs get zero.
Deservedly so.
Justin Riley, how can people reach you to talk to you about Antonio Alfano?
Great topic of discussion. We'll definitely have to address that next podcast. personal handles, at 12-1 training, the number 12, one spelled out training. That's both on Twitter and Instagram. I run our sportscast handles for a majority of the time on both Twitter and Instagram. That's at the Sportscast One. Also operates the LinkedIn profile for Sportscast. So you can reach me in any number of those locations.
And there you have it, the sportscast.net. Visit us for the latest. And on Twitter at the Sportscast One, we'll be covering Alabama, Tennessee, Oregon, Washington this weekend. Of course, Kailua will be covering the NFL game day on Sunday. And looking forward to this weekend in sports, November 9th. I can't really wait. Anyways, Justin Riley, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.